Yes. What's going on, guys? So good to be back with you guys. It's always a pleasure to come, to hang out with you guys, to teach you guys. And it's really good to be here in Albuquerque from Santa Fe. We don't have a Chili's in Santa Fe yet, so we got to eat at Chili's today, and that was amazing. And I brought a couple little mints from Chili's, and you guys can grab them. There you go. That's just a little token from Chili's. Chili's loves you guys. Just get a little comfortable. So it's good to see all of your beautiful faces here tonight. And I can't wait to get into God's Word with you guys. And I know that you guys get excited about God's Word. You love to learn more about God. You love to love God. And so, cool to be with you guys. Tonight I want to talk to you guys and take some time to focus on the cross, right? The cross of Christ is the focal point of our faith. And so it should also be the focal point of our lives. The cross should be something that we think about daily and consider all that the cross means to us. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Just that. Specifically, not really Jesus Christ dying and being crucified, but what the cross means to us and all that Christ accomplished for us on the cross. And so I've entitled the message tonight, The Riches of Righteousness. Who in here wants to be rich? Anybody would like to be rich? A couple of you guys? Yeah. Well, guess what? Those of you guys who are raising your hand and saying, hey, I'd like to be rich, you guys aren't much different from pretty much everybody else in the United States, right? I would say that probably 7 out of 10 people in the United States would desire to be rich more than anything else. And that's not any statistic that I read online or anything like that. It's nothing that's in stone, but it's just something that I can pretty much guarantee that at the very least, 7 out of 10 people in the United States would desire to be rich above everything else. And so why do you think that is? Why do you think that everybody wants to be rich? Well, it's because... Exactly. It's because everywhere we look, when we watch TV, we see the billboards, we get online and we see the advertisements that are online, they're all pumping all of this stuff at us. We see the new iPods, we see the new HD flat screen TVs, we see the new PlayStations that are coming out and the Xboxes and all of this stuff. And we start to believe that we're not going to be happy if we don't have it. The only problem is that a lot of the stuff that they're advertising and telling us that we can't live without, that stuff's pretty expensive, and unless you're rich, you can't really keep up with it. Now, sure, maybe you can afford the new iPod Nano, okay? The one that's even smaller than before, comes in the multitude of different colors and all of that. Maybe you can afford that. But once you get that, the iPod Micro is going to come out, and then the iPod Nano is going to be obsolete, so you'll have to go get the iPod Micro. Then once you get the iPod Micro, then the iPod Pequeño that's like this big is going to come out, and then the Micro will be obsolete, right? Oh, you got the Micro? That's like 5 minutes too old, and all of that stuff. And so it goes on, and the thing is, people want to get all of these things. They want to get all of these material things because they think that they can't live without it. And as a result, what they desire more than anything is riches. But these kind of riches are temporary, right? These iPods and high-definition TVs, all of these things are temporary. And even if they're well taken care of, even if we take care of these things to the very best of our ability, they're not going to last forever. And they're definitely not going to last beyond the grave. They're not going to do anything for us in eternity. Well, in Santa Fe, we've been going through the book of Romans, just like you guys do here, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And tonight, I'd like to share a little bit with you guys some of the stuff that God's been teaching us out there. So go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 5. And we're going to look at just two verses tonight as we learn about the riches of righteousness. One thing that we've been learning about as we've been going through the book of Romans is how to be right with God. How to be right with God. How to be justified and considered righteous in God's sight. Can anybody tell me how you do that? How do you get right with God? Somebody in here has got to know how to be justified. To God? Devote your whole life to God? Well, the Bible says that we're justified by God's grace through what? Faith. By God's grace through faith. So that's what the book of Romans has been teaching us. And tonight we'll talk a little bit about the riches that we acquire in righteousness, or more specifically, the benefits that believers have because of the cross. But first, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we consider the cross. And as I've said, it's the focal point of our faith. And Lord, we pray that as a result of studying your word tonight, Lord, that you would make the cross the focal point of our lives. God, I need your help to be able to communicate the depth of the cross and all that you purchased for us by hanging on that cross and taking the punishment for our sins. We consider the cross and we stand in awe of the love that you have for us. And so, Lord, as I've prayed before, I pray that those who are Christians in this room, Lord, that this study in your word would just stir their affection for you. That it would stir their love for you. And that they would love you even more because of what you've purchased for us at the cross. And God, if there are any in here who don't know you, they aren't Christians, they haven't repented of their sins and trusted you for salvation, I pray that this message would convict them and bring them to you, and bring them to repentance. Bless this time of study. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 5 in Romans. I said we're going to go through two verses, 1 and 2. Let's read them together. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So as believers who've been justified by faith in Christ, we have, number one, I'm going to give you 3 points. So on your bulletins, go ahead and write 1, 2, 3, and you guys can follow along with that. The first point that you're going to write down is peace with God. As believers who've been justified by grace through faith, we have peace with God. Now, I'd be willing to bet that a lot of you guys have enemies. Maybe there are some of you guys who have enemies. Maybe you are someone else's enemy. When they see you, they think, oh man, there's my enemy. Well, I personally don't like having enemies, okay? When I was in high school, I wasn't a good guy, didn't know the Lord, hung out with thugs, and just thought I was so cool, but I had a lot of enemies. And so, even though I thought that I was so hardcore, I wasn't scared of anybody because I had all kinds of homies to back me up, all of this stuff, it still wasn't any fun to have enemies. The thing was, you never knew when you were going to run into your enemy. And when you did, you never knew what they were going to do. But I had some pretty hardcore run-ins with some of my enemies in the past, especially, you know, obviously before I was a Christian. in high school, had a lot of enemies. As a matter of fact, I remember one time I was driving down the street, probably 16, 17, just had my license, you know, pretty stoked, and had a lot of enemies. Driving down the road, hit a stoplight, and I'm not thinking anything about it, you know. I'm just like, oh yeah, listening to the music, zoning out. Didn't realize that one of my enemies had pulled up behind me at the stoplight. Well, he thought, you know, he was just crazy and just jumped out of his car at the stoplight. Meanwhile, I'm still bobbing my head, rocking to the music, not understanding what's going on. Runs up to the driver's side of the car where I was at and just poof, punches out my driver's side window and starts trying to pull me out of my car right here at this intersection at the stoplight. And I'm just like, oh gosh, what's going on? There's glass everywhere and I don't know what's going on. And so luckily the light turns green and I take off and get away and he didn't kill me. And it's crazy. Enemies are not a good thing. I have tons of stories like that, but the point is that enemies are not a good thing. Well, something that I don't think a lot of people realize is the fact that if we aren't Christians, then the Bible says that we're enemies of God. Just a couple verses later in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it says this: for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, I had some pretty serious enemies, as you can see by that story that I told you. I had some pretty serious enemies, but my greatest and most dangerous enemy that I didn't even know I had was God. Because I wasn't a believer at that time, I was an enemy of God. And you see, most people who aren't saved don't think that they're enemies of God, because they don't feel like they have anything against God, right? Now, there are some pretty hostile people towards God, and some people that would say, oh, I hate God. But those are the minority. For the most part, most people would say, I don't have anything against God. I just don't feel like I need him, right? That's what most people would say. But the thing that they don't understand is, you may not have anything against God, but the thing is, God has something against you. You may not have a problem with God, but God has a problem with you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, he who is not with me is against me. And some of you guys are probably still memorizing the book of James. James chapter 4, verse 4 says that whoever wants to be a friend of this world makes himself an enemy of God. Whoever wants to be a friend of this world makes himself an enemy of God. Are you an enemy of God? What would qualify us as friends of this world? Well, if you think about it, who are your friends? Your friends are the people that think like you, they act like you, they do the things that you do, and you have a lot in common with them. So I guess, if we think and act like the world and have a lot of things in common with the world, then we're probably friends of the world. And how does the world think? You know, how does the world act? What are some things that we might have in common with the world? Well, the world would say that sleeping with your boyfriend or your girlfriend is okay, as long as you don't cheat on them, right? As long as you don't cheat on them, then it's bad. But other than that, it's okay to do that kind of thing. They would say homosexuality, bisexuality, all of that stuff is okay. It's the way God made you, right? So they would say that. They would say, oh, marijuana and stuff like that, there's nothing wrong with that. It should actually be legalized. And so since it's not legalized and it's not bad, you can still do it. It doesn't matter. Drink. You should drink alcohol all you want. Get drunk. Just don't drive, because then that would be bad. But drinking and getting drunk, even if you're underage, everybody does it, so it's okay. Lies are okay as long as you don't hurt anyone. If you don't hurt someone with the lie you tell, you can tell as many lies as you want. Jesus, he's not the only way to heaven. He's one of the ways, but all religions lead to God, really, is what the world would say, right? success. How do you be successful in this life? Well, you get rich, wealthy, have a lot of stuff. That's success. And then if you want to be attractive, then you've got to weigh a certain amount and look a certain way and all of these things. This is how the world thinks. This is the world's perspective, the world's view. And if you think that way and act that way and have these things in common with the world, then you're probably a friend of the world and, unfortunately, an enemy of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want God as my enemy. I don't want God, Almighty, all-powerful God, as my enemy. But there was a time when I was an enemy of God. We all, at one point, were enemies of God. But if you're a Christian in here tonight, then because of the cross, because Christ died on the cross for your sins, you have peace with God. You have peace with God. You're no longer his enemy. When we trust Jesus Christ in the work of the cross, repenting of our sins, living for him, when we're justified by faith, we have immediate peace with God. Immediate. The verb translated in verse 1, we have, is in the present tense, meaning it's something already possessed. You see, a lot of the riches of righteousness, the benefits that we have because of the cross, we have to wait for. We have to wait for heaven, and we have to wait for these things until we die or Christ comes back. And so a lot of the riches of righteousness we have to wait for, but this is a benefit that we can experience right now. And if we're Christians, we do experience it right now. We no longer have God as our enemy, but as our Father, as our Savior, our treasure, the thing that we cling to and love and cherish the most in our lives. Peace with God. Before we move on, let me share something with you that's very, very important when talking about peace with God. Is that this peace with God is not a feeling, it's a fact. Peace with God is not a feeling, it's a fact. If you have repented of your sins and trusted Christ, then you have peace with God no matter how you feel. Sometimes I don't feel like I have peace with God. We mess up sometimes and we sin, and then we get this feeling like God's mad at us and we're not at peace with him. We're enemies again. But because of the cross, no matter how we feel, we have peace with God. Now, of course, that doesn't give us a license to sin. We have to confess and repent and turn from those things. But if our faith is in Jesus Christ, then the war with God is over forever. Praise the Lord. So as Christians, one of the benefits we experience because of the cross is peace with God. Next, we'll see that because we've been justified by faith in Christ, if we're Christians in here, we have, number two, access to God. Access to God. Look at verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. One of my favorite bands is Switchfoot. Maybe you guys can relate to that. I love Switchfoot. I've always loved them since their very first album, when they only had three guys. They weren't that popular. They would play churches and small venues for like little to nothing. I remember Christy and I actually saw Switchfoot when they came here a long time ago with a couple different bands, and we had backstage passes. And they weren't even that hard to get. Like, I called the radio station to see when the concert was, and they were like, oh, here's backstage passes or something, you know? So back then, to have backstage passes to the Switchfoot was like, it was pretty sweet. But it wasn't like unthinkable. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, you have backstage. It was just like, whatever. Oh, sweet, you're going to meet those cats. Well, now they're a much bigger and more popular band. And so I think it's going to be pretty hard to get backstage passes when they come. And is it this month that Switchfoot's coming or next month? Yeah, this month, right? Yeah, it's going to be a little harder to get backstage passes. Those guys are a little harder to get access to, right? Well, before the cross, before Jesus died on the cross, access to God was like that. It was unthinkable. As a matter of fact, to look upon God was to die. God told Moses in Exodus 19 to warn the people, hey, warn these people not to try and force through and gaze at the Lord, or else many will perish. In other words, they'll die if they look at me. Later on in the Old Testament, they built the temple, right? With the Holy of Holies, where the divine presence of God was. But there were some hardcore boundaries to that Holy of Holies in this temple. A non-Jew or a Gentile could only go as far as the outer court of that temple. And if you were a Jewish woman, you could go a little further, but not that much. And then if you were a Jewish man, you could go a little further than that. And then if you were a regular priest, a little further than that, and a little further. And all these different groups could get closer and closer to the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, but no one could enter into that Holy of Holies, that presence of God, except one person, one day a year. One person, one day a year, had access to God. It was the high priest. On the Day of Atonement, he would be able to go into the Holy of Holies, and even he could be struck dead if he went in an unworthy manner. As a matter of fact, they would put bells on him so that he would jingle as he was walking in there, and they would tie a rope around his leg. So that if he went in there, as long as you heard the jingling of those bells, then you knew he was cool. But if the bell stopped, you were like, oh, God struck him dead. Let's go ahead and pull him out. And you pull him out with the rope that was tied around his leg. So to the people that this letter, this book of Romans, was written to these guys, access to God wasn't something that was really possible. It was like, what? Access to God? But when Christ died on the cross, he gave us access into the throne room of grace. We read in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, that when Jesus Christ, at the hour that Jesus Christ died on the cross, this big veil or curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, it ripped from top to bottom. At the very hour that Christ died, this veil that separated man from God was torn from top to bottom. What do you think that meant? That was God's way of inviting us in to his presence. It was God's way of telling us that the cross removed the barrier between God and man. The veil that kept man apart from God had been removed, and now in Christ, and only in Christ, we have access to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 in the New Living Translation says that we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Do you know what that means for you? Do you know what that means for you, that you have access to God? It means you don't have to go to Kevin and ask him to pray for you because he's a pastor and you feel like he has some special access. He has the same access that you have. Now, I know that he loves to pray for you guys, so don't stop going to him and asking him for prayer. But you don't have to. It's not something that you have to do. You have access to God. If you're sick, you don't have to turn on, you know, TBN, the Christian channel, and see the crazy looking guy on TV that says, send me money and you'll get a healing. You don't have to do that. You have access to God. If you've sinned and you've blown it, you don't need to go in this little box with a priest and spill the whole story. You have access to God. You have direct access to the Holy of Holies, the throne room of grace, the very presence of God, 24 hours a day. Maybe we don't have backstage passes to switch foot, but we have something even greater. We have access to the living and almighty God every minute of every hour of every day. Let me just encourage you guys. Use it. Use the access that you have to God. One guy, one day a year, had this access to the presence of God. And we, because we're Christians and in Christ, because of the cross, have this access every single day. Use it. Use the access that God has given you through the cross. So the riches of righteousness are peace with God, access to God, and finally, if you've been justified by faith, you have number three, hope in God. Hope in God. Look at the second part. Well, we'll read the whole verse 2 again. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God, access to God, and hope in God. Because of the cross and as a result of our justification by God's grace through faith, we can look forward to the future with great hope. Our future has hope. Now, we often use this word hope differently. We'll say, oh, I hope it's not cold tomorrow, or I hope I win a lifetime supply of Cold Stone ice cream, or whatever it is that we hope for. And what we're really saying is that we're wishing something. We wish something that is uncertain and we have no control over. Well, this hope is different. Biblical hope is different. When the Bible speaks of hope, it's talking about a confident expectance. Something that we know is going to happen, or something that we desire with expectation of obtainment. This is the kind of hope that the Bible's talking about. The kind of hope that verse 5 here says doesn't disappoint. But what is our hope? If this biblical hope is something that we can confidently expect, what are we confidently expecting? This is pretty sweet. We confidently expect to share the glory of God in the future because the Bible says it. Share the glory of God. That's what we can confidently expect. Now, with our imperfect minds, we can't possibly understand what that is. We can't wrap our minds around it. We can't comprehend everything that that means to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We can't understand it. We can't comprehend what it's going to mean to us to be able to share the glory of God. But the Bible says it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hebrews 2:10, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We're going to be able to share in the glory of God. What an incredible hope we have. An incredible hope that's only made possible by the cross. And so that's what I want to encourage you guys to do tonight, is to make the cross, make Christ crucified the focal point of your lives, because it's because of that that you have the hope that you have. It's because of that that you have this peace with God, that you have access to God, and that you have this hope in God. But if you're not a Christian, if you haven't repented of your sins and trusted Christ, turned your life over completely to Jesus Christ, trusting him for your salvation, then whether you realize it or not, you're an enemy of God. You don't have peace with God. You're at war with him if you're not a Christian. You don't have access to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 said that we enter the holiest by the blood of Christ. If you're not a Christian, then the blood of Christ does nothing for you. And if you aren't a Christian, you don't have this incredible hope in God. You don't have this confident expectance of sharing the glory of God. As a matter of fact, what you can confidently expect when you die is eternal judgment in hell. Now, that's not just my opinion. That's not me being harsh. It's what the Bible says, and it's stuff that I would be dishonoring God if I didn't tell you. But if you are an enemy of God, you can have peace with Him tonight. Jesus will break down the wall of separation between you and God, namely your sin. And He'll give you access to God and a hope of eternity in heaven with Him when you die, if you would just repent of your sins, turn from your sin, trust Jesus Christ as your Lord, Savior, and treasure, and then live for Him every day of your life. That can happen today. I pray that it would. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time in your word. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be back here with this awesome youth group that I love so much. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for everything that it means to us, that we're no longer your enemies, that we have peace with you, that you've given us access to you, God. You've given us access to the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. And that you've given us this incredible hope of eternity in heaven with you, sharing in your glory. We can't even comprehend what that means, but we know it's going to be amazing. Father, if there are any enemies of yours in here tonight, I pray that you would reconcile them to yourself tonight. That you would soften their hearts to be able to repent of their sins, trust you and you alone for their salvation, and then enable them to live for you. God, if that's any of these guys, Lord, I pray that you would just put it on their heart to go talk to a leader and tell them that they want to have peace with God, and that you would enable the leaders to be able to lead them to you in prayer. We thank you for this night. In Jesus' name, amen. See you guys later.